begin the second book of the Torah. Five books in the Torah. The second book is Shemot. And there are several questions as soon as you enter this book. In English, this is the book of Exodus. And in Hebrew, we call it Shemot. Shemot means names. What does the book actually talk about? The book talks about the Jewish people in the land of Egypt entering into slavery, exiting slavery with Moshe Rabbeinu, leading them out, the 10 plagues, the splitting of the sea, the receiving of the Torah in Parshat Yitro, the building of the Mishkan. And the entire book finishes with the building of the Mishkan. So you have the Jewish people coming down to the land of Egypt, starting slavery. 210 years later, they come out. Their leader is Moshe, his brother is Aharon, his sister is Miriam. He leads them out. They enter the desert. They start a process. They receive the Torah. They then worship the golden calf. And then they are commanded to build the Mishkan, and they finish building the Mishkan. That's the entire book of Shemot. Why is it called names? What's that got to do with names? That's an outstanding question. I understand in English it says Exodus, but why is the book called Shemot, names? That's the first question that we want to understand. As we open the book and we look at the first verse says, it introduces, and these are the names of the children of Israel who were coming to Egypt with Jacob, each man and his household came. It starts with which were coming and it finishes which came. Mentioned, the Ora Chaim says there were different types of people. Why? Because some people came of their own accord, some people were forced. At the end of the day, everybody had to go down to Egypt. It was already a gezerah that we had to go down to Egypt. Whether you like it, whether you don't like it, you have to go down. But there is a profound lesson over here. What is the profound lesson? The Torah wants to tell us, firstly, Shemot, names. Names are important. Go around, ask what's your Hebrew name. Hebrew names are very important. A Hebrew name defines the person. If he's named Aryeh, so Aryeh is like a lion. If he's named, even Avraham was called Avraham because he's called Av Hamon Goyim, Av of Aram. He was called the father of Aram. Yitzchak is called Yitzchak because Sarah laughed, but he's got that simcha in him. He's got that happiness in him. No matter where his dad tells him to go, even though his dad wants to offer him up in the Akedah, he will go and he will do it b'simcha. Yaakov is holding on to the heel. Everybody's Hebrew name means something. And your Hebrew name, actually, and that's why it's so important to have Hebrew names, your Hebrew name has in its essence your mission. Your mission in life is already in your name. That's how you have to understand there are certain characters. Your mission in your life is already in your name. Where do we see it? The Torah puts a lot of emphasis on names. It tells us by the Shevatim, by the 12 tribes, what each one was called and why they were called. Reuven, look, I have a son. Reuben, Shimon, Hashem heard my affliction. Levi, now my husband is going to accompany me. Why did the Torah need to tell us that? Is it just a story? No, because these were prophetesses, Rachel and Leah, and a prophet Yaakov, and they were very deep. They understood the meaning. This is going to imbue the person. L'chulam Shemot says another pasuk in Tehillim about stars. How many stars are there out there? Trillions of stars. 10 to the power of, look it up at NASA, it's growing because every time they have greater telescopes, they can see more and more and more. Trillions, endless of stars. And you know what David HaMelech says about stars? L'kulam, on each one of them, has got a name. You can go online now, and you can buy the name of a star. You can call it, that's your star. You can name the star. People pay money to name the star. David HaMelech, 2,000 years ago, already told us every single star has got a name. Why are you telling me that it's got a name? Ma, what do I care? Because he wants to tell you the star's got a mission. Just like the star has got a name, it's important. When you give a name to something, it's important, but you're also defining it. What's its mission? Every single one of us has got a mission. We all have a mission. And therefore, the beginning, this parasha, this book, what is the difference between Bereshit and Shemot? Bereshit is the beginning, creation. But it's the beginning of individuals. Adam and Chava. And then it re-begins with Noah. And then it re-begins with Abraham. And Abraham's now got a family. And his Yitzchak and Yitzchak got a family. And Yaakov. And they come down 70 people. It's a family. Shemot is talking about the beginning of the nation. And when you have a nation, you might think that you are not unique and you're not needed because there's a big nation. Who am I? Let them deal with it. There's 10 million, 15 million Jews in the world. I'm a Jew. Well, let somebody else deal with the mission of Shabbat and leading Israel and this. Let me get on. Says God, no. Everybody is important in the mission of the community. Shemot. This is the name of Shemot. Everybody, those names are important. This is the beginning of Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael is made of many individuals, and each individual has got a mission, and together that mission comes to as a team, and we get together and we do our mission. And what's our mission? Our mission is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. In this world, how do you do that? You get distracted. You come to an Egypt. Palm trees. Everybody been to Egypt? How beautiful it is. Then River Nile, the sea over there, beautiful. The River Nile overflows and it's lush. Everything you need is over there. You might get confused that you don't really need God. That's why Egypt was known as Toeva, a place of immorality, etc. They had everything going for them. Everything was fantastic and it became an empire already from Yosef. They were very lucky. So you might get confused. So the Torah tells us when the Jewish people came down to Egypt, what mindset did they have? We are only strangers in this land. We're citizens of Egypt, but we know that we are, and we'll give everything to the community, we'll give everything that we can, but we know that we're strangers in the land. We know that we're only passing by because we know one day we're going to go back to the land of Israel. And therefore, the Torah says, when they came, they came. But how did they come? What was in their mindset? What's in your mindset when you're here? Is your mindset you're here forever? Or is your mindset, Be'ezrat Hashem, one day we'll be in the land of Israel as a family, united with peace, prosperity? What is our mindset? And this is really the calling at the beginning of the parasha of every single Jew. The parasha relates, and we can see this throughout the whole parasha, individuals becoming into a community. It says that the Jewish children were being born, and Paro wanted to annihilate the Jewish children. Why? Because he saw that eventually, firstly, they were gaining the upper hand. There was too many of them. And how does the Pasuk say it? Listen to what the Orach Chaim says. Vayamot Yosef, v'chol echa, v'chol adar ha'u. Joseph died, and all his brothers, and the entire generation died. Uvenei Yisrael paru v'yishretzu v'yirbu v'yatzmu b'mod mod. And the Bnei Yisrael were numerous. Many, many, mod mod. The land was filled with these Jews. So if you're an Egyptian, that's the green card to anti-Semitism. It's too many of them. They came. They were strangers. They're not from this land. They're taking everything. It's time to Vayokom Melech Hadash Ad Mitzvah Shelo Yadait Yosef. He didn't remember Joseph. The new king comes around. He said, now's the time to annihilate them. Get rid of them. How am I going to do it? I'm going to kill off the Jewish children. How am I going to do it? The Jewish babies. But Egypt was very, very proper. Don't think that there was a Chas V'Shalom like the Nazis. They're going to exterminate everyone. They were a proper nation. You see it throughout the Torah. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, when he eventually comes to Paro, he's chalek lo kavod. He gives him kavod, even though he was a rasha. They were on the outside in the news outlets and the media, they were proper. On the inside, they were not proper. But they wanted to show the world their proper. So Paro wanted to exterminate the Jews, but he can't go and kill babies like this. Not done. So he hires the two top midwives, Shifra and Pua, and he says, go and kill, when you're giving birth to the Jewish children, make sure that in the womb you get rid of the guy, and unfortunately, he's born dead. And of course, they didn't listen to him. And then he calls them back, and he says, what will happen? They said, no, the Jews are different to the Egyptians. By the time we get there, they're already born. And the Torah tells us, they gave life to the children. And on that, Rashi says, what does it mean they gave life? Not only did they give birth to them, after Paro said, don't give birth to them, but they gave life, they brought them food and drink. And one was called Shifra because she used to take care of the body of the baby. Till today, Japan and Korea and Asia, they do like this and to get the facial, to get... This is from Shifra, we already know. And Pua, she used to speak to the baby. The Torah is hinting to us how to take care of children. The baby is unconscious, it's only 6 days old, 1 day old, 10 days, 20, it doesn't really know. The Torah says that baby takes in everything. It will take in how you're speaking. Are you screaming around the baby? Are you saying Torah around the baby? Ben Ishchai and others say, person who wants to learn at home, you get home, it's late at night, learn with a call, learn with a loud voice. Why should I learn with a loud voice? Because then, even though not screaming voice, a loud voice, people in the background, what are they hearing while they're sleeping? Call Torah. The voice of their dad, their brother, their cousin, whatever, learning Torah. It enters, it oozes the place with Torah. So these were great people, and they didn't listen. But how did it all begin? How did this anti-Semitism begin? Look what the Torah says. Yosef died, his brothers died, and all the generation died, and then the B'nai Yisrael increased. If you ask people about nowadays anti-Semitism, so the number one, Rabbi Sacks, Alav HaShalom, said that people have exchanged anti-Semitism with basically anti-Zionism. So it's the card, it's the green card. What happens? It says, if you hate a Jew, just be an anti-Zionist. And then you've got an excuse. Israel's doing this, and Israel's doing that, and Israel's doing that. Of course, not all Jews live in Israel, and there's plenty of Jews that are not happy with Israel. And even if you are happy with Israel, and even if you do believe in it, we believe that we are justified in the actions of when a nation comes and attacks us, that we will defend ourselves, obviously. But there are anti-Semites that don't want you to defend yourself. But they're proper, like Paro. Again, they're proper, they pretend, oh, the world. So they have to fly something that speaks to the media. What speaks to the media? Israel's a demon. Israel's overforce, using overforce. What speaks to, what's the reality? The reality is they hate you. They will always hate you. And they're just looking for an excuse. What are they going to put on the titles of the papers to excuse their actions? The Germans had it. The Crusaders had it. Every generation has it differently. The pogroms had it. Everyone has, because of Christianity, it was because of Islam, it's because of this, it's because of that. There's always an excuse. One thing is certain, they want to destroy. The anti-Semites, Baruch Hashem, we live in a world with plenty of friends, but a lot of people want to destroy. How do you see that in the Torah? The Or HaChaim says very simple. And this is very important. So long as Yosef, the Torah is saying, Vayamot Yosef, so long as Yosef was alive, nothing happened. The Egyptians didn't turn on the Jews. Okay, Yosef dies. Yosef was the first of all his brothers to die, 110 years old. He died. Now he's dead. Maybe the Egyptians can start to change government, change this. His brothers are alive, 10, 20. Still, nothing changes. They don't. The brothers die. Anything change now? Says the Torah. V'chol ador ha'hu. No, nothing changes. Until the entire generation died. Who was the entire generation? 70 people that came down to Egypt, that we read in Parsha Vayechi, until they come down to Egypt. And all of them passed away. There are exceptions, but let's say the majority, v'chol ador ha'hu is the majority, have passed away. Then starts the shibud. Then starts problem. And then the Torah says, U'b'nei Yisrael paru v'ishretzu, the B'nei Yisrael started to expand. Because in the eyes of the anti-Semites, they needed an excuse. They said it's because of this. The Jews themselves ended up believing it because it was the media all the time. You are bad, you are bad, you are increasing, you are increasing. But you want to know why we were enslaved? It's because there was no longer a person, a tzaddik like Yosef, defending the Jewish people. The brothers were not alive. That generation was not alive. And so long as they were alive, they were connected to Hashem in a manner that the younger generation was not connected. And instead of getting that message, the younger generation got the message of what Paro wanted to pull out there. And this is really the story of our nation now. This is how it is now in Israel and across the globe. What message are we getting as Jews? Unfortunately, you see loads of Jews that are going out there against Israel. Because they're getting the message of the anti-Semites, and it's so convincing that they've chapped the right. They've got the energy to come and defend other people rather than their own. They miss the message. We have been hit hard as a Jewish people. Massive hit, massive war. Who's orchestrating the war? It's Hashem. Very important to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of everything. God is in charge. Not Trump, not Putin, not Nasrallah is dead, not that one. Hashem is, he was, he is, he will be. He's always in charge of everything. And he wants us to know. And we need to know there is a spiritual dimension behind the physical dimension. And Arachaim says, this is the problem. People didn't know. We don't appreciate the spiritual dimension behind. We don't have the Chachamim we used to have. Where is that defense? We don't have the grandmas that used to read Tehillim like they used to read, and then we can get rid of the enemies in 6 days. We don't. Where do we have that? We need to re-implant in the younger generation, as well as ourselves, this pride and connection with our HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we've lost. We've lost it. And this is the thing. So the Torah is already telling you, how do you implant it? Ve'eshemot. Every Jew needs to know they're important. That's number one. Number two, Habayim Mitzrayim. You need to know that you're not here forever. You're not here forever. You need to know there's a God. Ishu Beito Ba'u. You need to come together with the community. There needs to be a communal. And then we need to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. Really, this is the calling of the book of Shemot. And that leads to the Exodus. Because eventually, when things get so difficult for Am Yisrael, Vata'al Shavatam El Elokim, their prayer goes, pierces the heavens, and goes up to Hashem, and then it's like a circle. We were down here, we start to elevate. And that piercing enables the Geula that can come through. Be'ezrat Hashem, that is the understanding of the parasha, Shem Hashem Naseh Menatzliach. Amen.